takes us then to the regular agenda item 414. Is that correct?
Yes.
Please read the item.
414, replace the multiple unit limited tax exemption program foregone revenue annual cap with a rolling five-year cap.
I'm going to defer to Commissioner Saltzman. I'm currently the Housing Commissioner and obviously support this effort, but it really started under Commissioner Saltzman, so I'd like to defer to him for the introduction.
Well, thank you, Mayor. And this really relates to what we just heard, this very successful and increasingly successful program to build affordable housing. And one of the problems is we ran up against the agreed-upon cap between the city and the county and the school district about how much revenue to forego each year in this cycle to make these multi-programs work. And what we're seeing now is an increasing number of multi-applications, and it makes sense to move towards a, rather than setting the cap each year at $1.5 million, I believe it was set at, of lost revenue, to come up with a rolling average over 5 years not to exceed $15 million. So it increases the annual amount, but it also makes sure that it stays fixed in any given year so the impact to the county or the city is known and predictable. And this proposal before us that the mayor is bringing forward is really a central piece of the inclusionary zoning program, which will ensure that affordable units are built in new developments throughout our city. The state, when they enabled the city of Portland to adopt inclusionary zoning, required us to offer particular incentives in exchange for the units. And the tax exemption we're talking about, and we just talked about, is one of the state law requirements. So during the inclusionary zoning policy development, the panel of experts that we impaneled to give us advice on shaping this policy, many of the development community members were concerned that this very effective tool was going to somehow go away or not be available to them because of the one-year cap and not being able to predict in the future what the future availability of foregone revenues might be. So this is really at a very smart move to move to a rolling average, and it doesn't, as I said, not increasing foregone revenue to any taxing entity. So I'm very strongly supportive, and thank you, Mayor, for bringing this home, and thank you to the Housing Bureau staff for your good work on this, and also to County Chair Deborah Cafori.
So I think Commissioner Saltzman covered a lot of what we were going to bring up as key points, so we'll just be here for questions if there are questions. I think the one additional piece that I'll note really quickly was that the incorporation of the multi-program into mandatory inclusionary housing has extended the term of affordability from 10 years to 99 years.
Good point.
Thank you. Is there any further questions or comments?
Just want to say this is a very common sense thing, and in fact, in many of our programs, we evaluate their success over a five-year period, like with tax increment financing dollars and meeting the goals within urban renewal districts. So I appreciate the fact that this gives us more flexibility and is another tool that Dan has brought forward to make this program more effective and work better.
Very good. Is there any public testimony on this item?
We have two people signed up.
Very good. You can have a seat, and we may or may not need you again. Thank you.
Charles Bridge Crane Johnson and Star Stoffer.
Oh, very good. Good morning.
Good morning, Commissioners. Charles Bridge Crane Johnson. And, of course, there's a lot of overlap between this new accounting method and the projects that were passed for. I think one thing that you are, especially in light of your recent comment, Mr. Wheeler, about aging population, is that you're probably going, well, not you, perhaps Governor Wheeler, who looks down upon whoever's mayor at the time and whoever's serving as commissioner, is going to wish that y'all had planned a funding source so that one of these 10-year affordable units is given to somebody from Northwest Pilot Project, maybe, or connects that way because they're 55 years old. So when they're 65, they have to move. Now, we're talking about turning the 99, going to a 99-year cycle, but I just think that I'm not sure that that's been comprehensively addressed, the idea that people get in, especially people who are not, you know, going to transition from one income level, move up, but will be, you know, have a home of 1 to 10 years, and then in their later years be in a situation where it's like, oh, it's going market rate. Or so I, you know, it's complicated because we're talking about people, you know, development companies, private property. But I hope that you all engage and probably already have in some conversations about how to, you know, spare those people the trauma of displacement.
Thank Charles, you. Two things in direct response to your comment. Number one is the Housing Bureau has the authority to extend the tax abatement for an additional 10 years through a negotiation. So that would create 20 years, which I think we should, in many cases, directly addresses the thing you mentioned. And number two, we're in the, you know, we're going to end up buying some properties with the housing bond money. And that's why we've had this discussion about grandfathering some folks in, because we don't want to be buying properties and then displacing people. We want to make sure that people have a stable home.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good morning.
Good morning. My name is Lightning. I represent Lightning Super Watchdog. One of the things I didn't, that wasn't addressed, is that if somebody wanted to have more than just 20% of the units at, say, 60 or 80%, if they could do that, say they wanted to say, well, I'll do 30%, what will be my benefits? I don't know if that can be negotiated or not. Issue number two, it's my understanding on this 10-year plan that these rents are set. There's no adjustments for inflation. So what we might also understand is that if you project out for 5 years, if the rents really go up, then what you're seeing at 60% now might look at a lower MFI in the future, if I'm correct, because these rents are locked in. So if they're locked into today's rents and there is no adjustment for inflation, then in 5 to 7 years, these rents could actually look very affordable. Now, that's just my opinion, and somebody might be able to address that. Now, again, it was my understanding on this multi-unit limited tax exemption, the actual amount was for $3 million. Now, what you're proposing is to cap this out over 5 years at $15 million. Does that mean we can run up in 1 year, say, $7 million, and then just adjust it out for the total cap on five? Again, I was a little unclear on that. Again, my position, and when I heard it, unfortunately, I'm not really an inclusionary zoning advocate. I think we're seeing a lot of resistance from developers on making the numbers work overall. And whenever I hear somebody throw out a 99-year term, I'm like, nobody in this room is going to be around for that. And the reality is that it's not going to incentivize more units to be built. In fact, to me, it will deter from building more units. So I'd like that inclusionary zoning to be looked at again, because it was my understanding that was being proposed to look at it, see how it works, get the response, and then come back. I'm hearing a lot of negative feedback on that. I would rather see more multi-unit exemptions put into place at higher dollar amounts and not have that number of 10 plus years extended out, because I think that if it creates people from not building more units, that's a bad situation, because we can always, like you say, add another 10 years on top of that to people that want it. But if they don't, that's a real deterrent on developers stepping up to the plate and getting more units built. Whereas this multi-unit limited tax exemption, it's an incentive. It incentivizes them to do that. So that's just my opinion. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you for your testimony. Did we want to bring staff up to answer some of those questions? Why don't you come up and answer the question about, first of all, the rent not moving with CPI?
So the regulated rents for the entire portfolio of the Bureau, including the multi-program, are based on the median family income or the area median income set by HUD. And so they do publish those numbers annually. HUD has published the new numbers, although the Bureau is still – they publish a single number, which is for a household of four, and the Bureau imputes then what that is for various household types at different AMI levels. And so while there's not an index to CPI or inflation, we do see that with growth in incomes we do see, or decline in incomes, we see the regulated rents rise or fall. And if you look at a 10-year average, it's about 2 to 3% increase in rents in our regulated portfolio. So there is some growth, but it is limited, and it is limited based on income growth in the metro area.
Very good. That's a great explanation. And there was a question about the flexibility component of this, the 3 versus the 15. And the question, does that mean in any given year you could increase it with the expectation that in out years you then have to decrease it to keep it over the total 5-year rolling average? Or the 5-year rolling cap, sorry.
Correct. And that is. And that's one thing that we had heard from the many of the developers on the panel of experts for the inclusionary housing process, was that the cap was static year to year while development comes in cycles. And there was concern that should the city, even though within the code, if the city runs out of tax exemption, the inclusionary requirement would go away until the next calendar year when the city has new tax exemption authority. Commissioner Saltzman and Chair Kefouri committed to establishing a rolling cap that would, in theory, allow the city to authorize the tax exemption in alignment with development cycles.
Very good. Any further conversation on this? Commissioner Saltzman.
I wanted to just thank, again, the Housing Bureau team. Thank you, Mayor Wheeler, County Chair Deborah Kefouri, but I forgot to always thank somebody who needs thanking, and that's Shannon Callahan on my own staff. I always forget my own staff for her great work on this effort as well.
Very good, and I'd like to thank you, and I'd like to thank staff, and then I always put in the blanket, I'll thank anybody else who I forgot, because there were a lot of people that worked very, very hard on this, and I'm certainly appreciative. This is a non-emergency first reading, so it moves to second reading. Thank you for being here.